ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरश्चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 22। सिंस इट इज नॉट अ पद्य इट्स अ गद्य इट्स नॉट अ पोएट इट्स नॉट पोएट्री इट्स पैराग्राफ so we'll read the word for word meanings, right? Please repeat. Ya, which, tu, but, Mahakadambah, the tree named Mahakadamba, Suparshva Nirudha, which stands on the side of the mountain known as Suparshva. यह विच तस्य ऑफ दैट कोटरेभ्य फ्रॉम द हॉलोज विनिस्रता फ्लोइंग पंच फाइव आयाम व्याम अ यूनिट ऑफ मेजरमेंट ऑफ अबाउट 8 feet परिणाह whose measurement pancha 5 madhudhara flows of honey suparshva shikharat from the top of suparshva mountain patantya flowing down aparena on the western side of sumeru mountain atmanam the whole of ilavrata varsha anumodayanti make fragrant. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. On the side of Suparshva mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very celebrated. From the hollows of this tree flow 5 rivers of honey, each about 5 yamas wide. This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Suparshva mountain and flows all around Ilavrata Varsha, beginning from the western side. Thus the whole land is saturated with pleasing fragrance. Purport. The distance between one hand and another when one spreads both his arms is called a vyam. This comes to about 8 feet. Thus, each of the rivers was about 40 feet wide, making a total of about 200 feet.
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri krishna chaitanya devam.
First of all, I would really like to thank His Grace Asim Krishna Prabhu for giving a very unqualified person like me the chance. And before beginning the Bhagavatam, we should sufficiently glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, in the beginning, he compares the Bhagavatam to a very large tree. He says,
Srimad Bhagavata Bhida Surataruz Tarankura Sajjani Skandair Dvadashabhistata Pravilasat Bhaktyalavalodaya Dvatrimshatrishatancha yasya vilasa chaka sahasranyalam Parananyashta dasheshta doti sulabo varvarti sarvopari.
Srimad Bhagavatabhidaha Surataruz. This devotional tree named Srimad Bhagavatam.
Tarankura Sajjani.
It is rooted in the spiritual world. Its seed is in the spiritual world. It's not rooted in the material world.
Skandair dvadashabhistatah pravilasat.
And it has 12 skandhas. Skandha is the main root. Okay? A large tree has various roots which run into the ground. So it has these 12 skandhas. Actually, skandha means a big portion of the root. Therefore, every canto in Srimad Bhagavatam is called a skandha.
Bhaktya lavalodaya.
And it grows in the soil of bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Dvatrim shatrishatam cha yasya vilasa chakha.
Then it has 235 branches, main branches. Okay, these are the 235 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sahasranyalam parnanyashta dasheshta doti sulabho.
And it has 18,000 leaves.
Varvarti sarvopari.
Which are spread everywhere. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should glorify Srimad Bhagavatam like this before we begin, so that we can attract the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first thing is to speak in context of the verse. This particular verse, especially this particular chapter, is describing Jambudvip. And Parikshit Maharaj was interested to hear about the measurements of Jambudvip. Therefore, he inquired from Shukadev Goswami regarding the measurements of Jambudvip, and Shukadev Goswami answered. We'll see to that why he asked such a question, because he has only 7 days of time, and why should he get into cosmology in these 7 days of time? We should inquire about this. Is it necessary to inquire about cosmology when you have 7 days of time to live? And second thing is, pertaining to this verse, Prabhupada says, the distance between one hand and the other when both the arms are spread is called one vyam. The first question which anybody will ask is, why is it that in Vedic culture the measurements are so inaccurate? Like my two arms will spread out very wide, and somebody else's two arms might not spread out very wide, and somebody else's arms might spread out wider than me. Why is it that the measurements are so inaccurate or not fixed? It's not only with Vedic measurements, but all measurements in this material world are inaccurate. Certain to a more or less, you know, degree. For example, if somebody says, how do you define 1 kilogram? How do you define 1 kilogram? So you can't say that 1 kilogram is the weight which is kept with my shopkeeper. You don't know whether it's 1 kilogram or not. It may be 900 grams. It may be 950 grams. It may be 1050 grams. standard definition which is given by the scientists is that 1 kilogram is some piece of weight which is kept in France. That's the definition. Okay. If tomorrow France is destroyed, then we lose the definition of 1 kilogram. So, in Vedic culture, definitions are given slightly relative, so that each and everybody can relate to them, and each and everybody can get an approximate measurement. Parikshit Maharaj is not interested in knowing exactly to the, you know, in decimal points how much is the width. Okay. So, an approximate measurement is given, so that in day-to-day life, there is no inconvenience for people to measure, and that people can measure using very easy means. Just their two hands, they spread out, and they can come to know how much is the width. Doesn't mean that in Vedic science there are no accurate measurements. When Vedic science speaks about time, especially Nimisha, then the measurements are very accurate. Very accurate measurements. There is even an entire chapter dedicated in Srimad Bhagavatam, measuring the movements of time with regards to movements of atoms. It's in the third canto. So, all these things are very accurately described. But wherever for convenience it is needed to give measurements which are not very absolute, Srimad Bhagavatam gives measurements which are not very absolute. In this particular verse, especially on Jambudvip, there is a mountain called Sumeru. And on the side of Sumeru, there is another mountain called Suparshva. Now, with regards to Suparshva, it is being described that there is a particular tree named Mahakadamba, and from the hollows of this tree, there are these rivers flowing. Okay, and these rivers are rivers of honey. And each one of them is 5 yamas wide. Alright? So, one question is that how did Srila Prabhupada write the measurement that 1 vyama is about 8 feet? Where do we get this definition of vyama? It's not described anywhere else in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to do a little reverse tracing. And we have to see from where Srila Prabhupada has taken the inspiration and written it in his commentary. On reading the commentaries, the first commentary which we should all read, which we should all refer to, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed very much upon, is the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said very clearly, Sridhar Swami Guru Kari Mani, Sridhar Anugata Karo Bhagavat Vyakhyan, Abhiman Tyaji Bhajo Krishna Bhagavan. You consider Sridhar Swami as your guru. And any commentary, if somebody wants to write, they should write according to the guidelines given by Sridhar Swami. Because nobody today can write a commentary without taking help from Sridhar Swami. All the terms which are now not to be found in any dictionaries will be found in the commentary of Sridhar Swami. For example, this term. Actually, if you see in the verse, the actual term which is used is ayam. The word vyam is not there in the original shloka. But Srila Prabhupada, in his word for word, is translating it as ayam. The word is translating it as vyam. The word vyam is not there in the original verse. The word is ayam. So it is because Sridhar Swami says Ayamo atra vyamaha. Ayam here means vyam. So what was earlier known as ayam in Sridhar Swami's time is known as a vyam. So, Srila Sridhar Swami says, he gives the definition of vyam. Vyamo bhavo sakarayos tatayos tiryag antaram. So, he says, vyamo bhavo of these arms, sakarayo along with the two palms, okay, tiryag antaram. Okay, horizontal distance between both of them. Tiryag antaram. This is the definition he gives. The same thing is repeated by Srila Prabhupada in the commentary. Therefore, we should all be very thankful to Srila Prabhupada, who has given this commentary and who has brought us the light of the previous acharyas in his commentary. And we should also be very thankful to the previous commentators like Srila Sridhar Swami, Srila Jeev Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who have given us, who have preserved all these things so that we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's impossible to understand without their mercy. It's impossible to understand. In the 10th canto, there is one chapter called Shruti Stuti. The Vedas personified offer prayers. Now much of the Vedic dictionaries are lost. So when the Vedas personally offer prayers to the Lord, at that time all the words which are used by the Vedas, those words we have to take help of Sridhar Swami. Otherwise there is no scope of translating it. Another thing which we'll note is that in the word for word, Srila Prabhupada says there is a word called aparena. Okay, in the original shloka, aparena. In the word for word, Srila Prabhupada says on the western side. But in the translation, he doesn't say on the western side. He says on the side. He doesn't say on the western side. In the word for word, he says western side. But in the translation, Prabhupada doesn't say on the western side. In the translation, Prabhupada says on the side. This is because apara means some other side, and some commentators have given the definition of apara as western side. Especially one of the commentators is Srila Veer Raghavacharya, who says, Supashvasya parvatasya yaha paschimo bhagas, that it is on the paschim bhag or on the western side of Suparshva parvat. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says in this regard that instead of the word panchayam, the word panchavyam is used in some versions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead of panchayam, the word panchavyam is used. In remaining all the commentaries, all the commentators have repeated word for word the words of Srila Sridhar Swami. Word for word. They have just copied it down. The question is, why do so many of these different commentators just copy down word for word for Sridhar Swami? Is it not redundant? So the answer is that when these commentaries were written, people would have access to either one commentary or maybe if two commentaries. If they are very fortunate, three commentaries. It's not like today when we are having access to 10 or 12 commentaries at once. In those days, even if you would have one commentary, then that one commentary should be sufficient to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the consideration. So everybody would try to give as much devotional information, as much information about the verses as possible in their own commentary, even if it means repeating word for word what Srila Sridhar Swami has given. There's another question here. Why is it that Puranas, especially Bhagavatam, they are discussing cosmology? Isn't it like a part of Jyotish or a part of discussing, isn't cosmology a different subject altogether? Why do Puranas have to have cosmology, especially Bhagavat Puran? Because Bhagavatam, we are saying here that it's related only to the Paratattva. It's not describing, it's not related to anything material. Dharma prajita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Nothing of the material world is of much importance in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are we describing cosmology in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto? Especially Parikshit Maharaj has only a few days. Now that fifth canto has arrived, maybe only out of the 7 days, maybe only 3 or 4 days are left. So why discuss cosmology? In many places, the acharyas have given that all Puranas should have 5 characteristics. All Puranas should have 5 characteristics. These 5 characteristics are Sargascha, Pratisargascha, Vamsho Manvantaranicha, Vamshanu Charitam Cheti, Puranam Panchalakshanam. First is Sargascha. Sarga means creation, okay, primary and secondary creations. Pratisargascha, annihilations. Vamsho, Vamsha means all the dynasties which have come down from Lord Brahma and from all the various sages. Manvantaranicha, Vamshanu Charitam, especially in all the Vamshas, the characteristics of those Vamshas in which the Lord has appeared. Puranam Panchalakshanam, the 5 characteristics. These are the 5 characteristics. So, Lajiv Goswami has described this in his Tattva Sandarb, 5 characteristics of Puranas. Now, the first is Sarga, creation. Second is Pratisarga, destruction. Third is Vamsha. Fourth is Manvantarani. Okay, Manvantarani means all the different Manvantaras, all the different Manus describing the times of the Manus. Vamshanu Charitam, describing the characters of the various kings. Okay, these are the 5 characteristics of any Purana. So here there is no mention of cosmology. So why is it that it says creation, and somebody can say creation includes describing all the planets. But that's not exactly the technical term. Therefore, Srila Jiv Goswami says, this is the difference between a Puran and a Mahapuran. A Puran has only 5 topics, but a Mahapuran has 10 topics. And this is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. The Jiv Goswami says, therefore, that this is the difference between, he uses the term Alpapuran and Mahapuran. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is called a Mahapuran, because instead of having 5 topics, which are characteristics of all Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 topics, which Srila Prabhupada says are the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know, Srila Prabhupada says these are the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is described in Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 10th chapter, 1st verse. Sukhdev Goswami says, Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantareshanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. Atra, in this Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran, sargo, primary creation, visargascha, secondary creation, sthanam, and the situation of planets. Because the word sthanam is used, therefore you will find description of sthanam. Now this word is the exact word. Sthanam poshanam utayah. Poshanam means how the Lord is maintaining. Utayah manvantare shanukatha, and all the different narrations of the manvantaras. Isha anukatha, Isha anukatha, Isha, the Supreme Lord, katha, past times, narrations, anukatha, when the prefix anu is added, it means repeated. Nothing else is anu, but ish anukatha. This ish anukatha, this narrations of the Lord are constant. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, prati shloke, prati akshare, nana arthakoye. Every word should be so scrutinizingly analyzed, then we will find newer meanings in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami also makes one point. He says that these 10 topics, which are characteristics of a Mahapurana, they are not present in different places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not like creation is only in the second canto or in the third canto. He says all characteristics are to be found in all the cantos. That's left up to the reader to discover. All characteristics are to be found in all the cantos. One should not say that in one particular canto only creation is there, in another canto only destruction is there, in another canto only manvantaras have been described. And this is not the case with Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we come back to our original question. Why is Parikshit Maharaj interested in knowing about cosmology? What is it that, made him ask this question? Because in the first and second verses of the chapter, we will see that Parikshit Maharaj deliberately asked the question. He says, please describe in detail. So, what's the explanation for that? That explanation Parikshit Maharaj himself gives in the third verse. Okay. In that verse, he says that by absorbing one's mind on the gross form of the Lord pervading in the universe, one can understand Vasudev. Because all these planets which will be described, Bhulok, Bhuvarlok, Swargalok, all these planets which will be described, it will help those yogis who are really new in the process of Bhakti Yoga. Okay, they are Mishra Bhakti Yogis. That's what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls them. They are Mishra Bhakti Yogis. They are Bhakti Yogis, but they are mixed. They still have this concept of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, and they want to see the Supreme Lord everywhere in the universe. So a form of the Supreme Lord which they can perceive, which they can conceive within their minds, this form, this large Virat, it's called the Virat Roop, is described in the second canto. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even though Parikshit Maharaj is interested in the Leela of the Lord, but still, he is not the only listener in the audience. When Shukadev Goswami is speaking, there are many different types of listeners. And not all of them are belonging to one sampradaya. They are all belonging to different sampradayas. So, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was requested by some of those listeners to request Shukadev Goswami to please speak on the situation of the planets, at that time Parikshit Maharaj, on behalf of them, requests Shukadev Goswami, please speak about the situation of the planets. Otherwise, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he doesn't have any interest in knowing about it. This is the situation. So, whenever these topics are described, Srimad Bhagavatam, although it is written for Paramhamsas, it is Paramhams Samhita. The Paramhamsas will definitely relish it. But doesn't mean that other categories of devotees will not be able to take benefit from Srimad Bhagavatam. The other devotees who have not yet arrived on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, they'll also be able to achieve full benefit from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the result of hearing Bhagavatam again and again is that Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Prayeshu Abhadreshu, almost all. It didn't say Sarveshu Abhadreshu. It said Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Some offenses are cleared only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Therefore, Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. We know there are two types of brahmacharis. One is Naishtik Brahmachari and one is upakurvan brahmachari. Naishtik means firm brahmachari, he never accepts grihastha ashram. That is naishtik brahmachari. So like that, a firm devotional service, naishtiki. Because bhakti is lady, therefore the word naishtik is not used, naishtiki. Okay, striling, so it is naishtiki, not naishtik. By seeing the example of Parikshit Maharaj, we should understand two things. Even though we might want to be absorbed in our bhajan, even though we might have advanced in devotional service and we might be thinking that there is no real use of preaching because the real preaching is preaching to oneself. Those who are advanced in bhajan, they think like this. The real preaching is preaching to myself because everyone else is already a devotee. Much better than me. This is the vision of the Mahabhagavat. It's described by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto. Sarva bhuteshu yah pashyet bhagavat bhavanatmanah. One who sees the presence of Lord Krishna in everyone, such a person is to be known as Mahabhagavat, Uttamadhikari. He doesn't see any need for preaching. If everyone is already a devotee, then what is the need of preaching? But the Madhyam Bhagavat doesn't see like this. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dvishatsucha prema maitri krapopeksha yah karoti sa madhyama. Those who are subservient to the Lord, Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu, those who are ignorant, balisha, dvishat sucha, and those who are envious. Prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha, respectively. Okay? Ishvare, prema. Do you understand? Ishvare, prema. Tad adhineshu, maitri. Balishatsu, kripa. Dvishatsu, upeksha. Do you understand? This is the order. Towards the Lord, one should have prema. Towards those who are favorable, one should develop friendship. Towards those who are ignorant, one should give his mercy. And towards those who are envious, one should neglect. One who does like this, yah karoti sa madhyama. So madhyamadhikari, his duty, his foremost duty is to preach. So even though Parikshit Maharaj is on the verge of passing away, still he is concerned about those who are Mishra Bhaktas within the audience. So Srila Prabhupada also has set a similar example. In a very ripe age, when it would have been perfectly alright for him to do bhajan in Vrindavan and to attain the highest perfection of life, Srila Prabhupada has set out and gone to the west. Uttam Adhikari has voluntarily accepted the position of a Uttam Madhyam Adhikari. He is not forced to accept, he has voluntarily accepted the position of an Uttam Madhyam Adhikari. This is not like the Madhyam Adhikari who rises from the Kanishtha Adhikari platform. This is that Madhyam Adhikari who has already attained Uttam Adhikar, then voluntarily come down one step, so that the souls can be delivered, they can be given his mercy. So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. If you are seeing Narottam Das Thakur, in some of the songs he is praying very humbly. He is saying, Gauranga karuna karo dina hina jani mosama patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane. And in some of the songs he is saying, Radha Krishna pran mora jugal kishor jivane marene gati ar nahi mor kalendira kule keli kadam beravan. How did the transition happen? Once you were praying that I am very fallen, and in the next song you were on the Kadamba, near the Kadamba Vriksha, and you are swinging the Lord. So one of the songs is for preaching to the other devotees, and another song is for his own realization. These are his own realizations. Both things must go on in every devotee. If somebody says, I will sacrifice my bhajan for preaching, then they are making a mistake. If somebody says, I will sacrifice my preaching for bhajan, then also they are making a mistake. The real Goshtyanandi is a bhajanandi, and the real bhajanandi is a Goshtyanandi. And this should be understood. Therefore, just like the example that Prabhupada has said, even though we might be very advanced in our bhajan, still we should take the efforts to go out, push the books, okay, one-to-one preaching. Small attempts of preaching, these are also very pleasing to the Lord. Big scores are definitely pleasing, and they are in their own league. But small attempts are also pleasing. This is the example which has been said by all the previous acharyas. This is the example which has been said by Srila Prabhupada. Even during the time of Srila Jiva Goswami, there was no second pandit next who could stand next to him. All the pandits in the court of Akbar said, Ganga is the topmost river. Jiva Goswami took the stand, Yamuna is the topmost river. Jiva Goswami elaborated upon it and described to all the pandits also why Yamuna is the topmost river. Ganga has touched the tip of the toe of Lord Hari, and therefore she can purify the entire world. But in Yamuna, Lord Hari has bathed himself with his entire body, not only his toe, he has splashed himself in the Yamuna. And therefore she is Patrani, she is the queen of Lord Hari. But such a great personality, even he was training students, even he was training them in deity worship, even he was, you know, preaching one-to-one. Not only the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, other Sampradayas were looking up to him in Vrindavan for taking guidance from him. There are many matters which they could not solve, so they would approach Jiva Goswami and say, please help us, because we are not able to solve this. This is the attitude of a person who wants to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. So, we'll end here, and if there are any comments, questions or criticisms, please let me know. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki... Alex. Mic. Ek minute.
Hare Krishna. Hare. You mentioned that certain offenses are cleared only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna.
Yes.
Can you name those offenses?
For yes.
For example.
There are certain offenses. For example, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one book. He has written one book called Krishna Samhita. In this he says, there are certain offenses which arise on their own. For example, conflicts between Vaishnavas. Taking a false guru. One should take Sadguru, but sometimes due to misfortune one ends up taking a false guru. These are certain obstacles which cannot be cleared except by the mercy of the Lord. Because only the Lord gives a bona fide guru. There is no other way to receive a bona fide guru other than by the arrangement of the Lord. Yes. Okay. These are examples of offenses.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्ण। इसे आप बोले कि उत्तम जो अधिकारी है भागवत में भागवत उसका एग्जाम्पल लिए और मध्यम का दिए और फिर बोले कि मध्यम ही उत्तम उत्तम ही है, लेकिन जैसे भगवत गीता में बताते हैं कि न स तस्मस मनुष्य जो कश्चन प्रियोकृतम, जो मैं प्रचार करता है वो उत्तम है। यहाँ पे भागवतम बताया गया है वो व्यक्ति उत्तम है जो जैसे आप श्लोक बोले, तो वो दोनों में कैसे बताइए थोड़ा, क्योंकि जैसे ये भागवत में बताया गया गीता में बताया गया कि वो मेरे को अत्यंत प्रिय है, उससे मेरे को अत्यंत प्रिय कोई नहीं है चाहे कोई हो। यहाँ पे भागवत में बताते कि वो व्यक्ति उत्तम है तो हाई लेवल में उस स्तर पे है, तो दोनों के बारे में थोड़ा बताइए
जी। हिंदी में ही जवाब दूंगा,
हिंदी में दीजिए इंग्लिश में दीजिए आपकी इच्छा।
जैसे भागवत में कहा गया है कि जो उत्तम अधिकारी है वो कभी कभी मध्यम स्तर पर आके प्रचार करते हैं, पे वे जब उत्तम अधिकारी मध्यम स्तर पर आकर प्रचार करते हैं उत्तमा भक्ति का ही प्रचार करते हैं, प्रेम भक्ति का ही प्रचार करते हैं, उनके प्रचार में किसी भी प्रकार के कर्म ज्ञान योग इत्यादि का कोई भी लेश मात्र भी नहीं होता है, ये उनका प्रचार है। और जो कनिष्ठ अधिकार से मध्यम अधिकार पे गया हुआ भक्त होता है उसके अंदर अभी भी कुछ अनर्थ बचे हुए रहते हैं। ये अनर्थ मतलब कर्म को भक्ति से श्रेष्ठ समझना, ज्ञान को भक्ति से श्रेष्ठ समझना, योग को भक्ति से श्रेष्ठ समझना। इसलिए रूप गोस्वामी पाद ने कहा है अन्याभिलाषिता शून्यम ज्ञान कर्मादि अनावृतम, अन्य अभिलाषिता शून्यम, बाकी अभिलाषाएं तो शून्य हो जानी चाहिए, और ज्ञान कर्म आदि आदि लगा दिया है अनावृतम, इससे आवृत नहीं होनी चाहिए भक्ति। अनुकूल्येन कृष्णानुशील, तो ये जब ज्ञान कर्म और आदि में जीव गोस्वामी जी कहते हैं योग तपस्या इत्यादि वैराग्य इत्यादि से जब भक्ति आवृत हो जाती है तब जो है वो भक्ति उत्तमा भक्ति नहीं कहलाती। तो जो उत्तम अधिकारी मध्यम अधिकार के स्तर पर आए हुए हैं वे तो उत्तम भक्ति का ही प्रचार करते हैं, किंतु यदि कनिष्ठ अधिकारी मध्यम अधिकारी के स्तर पर जावे तो कभी कभी यह संभावना रहती है कि कभी ज्ञान पे बल दे, कभी योग पे बल दे, कभी वैराग्य पे बल दे, जो कि उत्तम अधिकारी से के लिए संभव नहीं, वो वैसे नहीं करेंगे, वो सिर्फ प्रेम पे बल देंगे।
Hare Krishna, thank you for your explanation. You explained in this that Parikshit Maharaj inquired about cosmology because he was asked by the other sages. In second canto, first chapter, Sukhdev Goswami explains about the position of planets.
Right.
Then again in sixth or seventh chapter, Parikshit Maharaj inquires about it.
Right.
He again explains it. So the reason for that is also the same?
The reason is that Sukhdev Goswami wants to begin from a point which is common to everybody, which everybody can appreciate, okay, and he starts from that point and then he builds up. Therefore one reads in the sequence, okay, after writing tattva sandarbh, bhagavat sandarbh, paramatma sandarbh, krishna sandarbh, bhakti sandarbh and priti sandarbh, jiv goswami was not satisfied, so he wrote again kram sandarbh. Kram means now read in sequence. This is the comment. So kram means they are gradually elevated, that is also one of the thing. And in the 10th canto, the full exposition of those who are premi bhaktas, those who are attracted to the pastimes of the Lord, they get their full dose of Krishna Gatha. But again in 11th canto, we return back and talk about little bit about Gyan, we talk about the soul, about the Paramatma, because after reading 10th canto, we should again ground our feet back. We have to stay in the material world. Okay, and we should practice certain things because we are conditioned living entities. Therefore, after reading 10th canto, one must read 11th canto.
Hare Krishna. I have a book here in Hindi.
Ji.
I don't have the English book.
Ji.
I'll read from that.
Okay.
I did not understand this.
Okay.
First line of the purport that I am reading in Hindi.
Right.
Dono bhujaon ke phailane par ek hatheli se dusre ki beech ki duri vyam kehlati hai.
Ji.
जो लगभग 8 फुट होती है. हाउ इज दिस 8 फीट दैट दोनों भुजाओं के फैलाने पर एक हथेली से दूसरे की बीच की दूरी जो व्यायाम कहलाती है, हाउ इज इट 8 फीट लॉन्ग?
देयरफॉर इट्स अबाउट 8 फीट.
नो नो, बट इफ यू स्ट्रेच योर हैंड्स
राइट,
विल इट बिकम 8 फीट? 8 फुट होती है, यहाँ हिंदी में, हिंदी बुक में लिखा है.
आई एम ब्लेस्ड विथ लॉन्ग हैंड्स. सो इफ यू टेक एन एवरेज ऑफ ऑल द एजेस ऑफ ह्यूमन बींग्स,
ओके,
देन यू विल गेट 8 फीट. दैट्स द बेस्ट पॉसिबल एक्सप्लेनेशन आई कैन गिव. थैंक यू.
हरे कृष्ण.
ओके, श्रील प्रभुपाद,
ही हैज अ क्वेश्चन.
ओके,
हरे कृष्ण प्रभुजी.
हरे कृष्ण.
वेरी वंडरफुल क्लास, थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रभुजी. यू सेड अबाउट प्रीचिंग, आई हैव सीन स्पेशली दिस इज कमेंट इन अदर संप्रदायज, दे आर नॉट मच इंक्लाइन टू फॉर प्रीचिंग, बट प्रभुपाद हैज मेड सच अ वंडरफुल मॉर्निंग प्रोग्राम एंड सिस्टम. सो इफ समबडी इज अटेंडिंग होल मॉर्निंग प्रोग्राम, देन ही विल इमीडिएटली इंक्लाइन टू अटैच टूवर्ड्स कृष्णा. एंड प्रभुपाद इज ही वॉज गिविंग वन लेक्चर, ही सेड if you have love for Krishna, then you immediately incline to tell others also that please accept Krishna consciousness. So that is the link, and that is why Krishna also said in Gita, because of this my devotees has love for me, so that is why they are more dearer to me, because yes, they are preaching my glories.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. All right, Matajis. Okay, श्रील प्रभुपाद की निताय. गौर प्रेमानंदे वांछा कल्पतरु बेस्य कृपा सिंधु बेवच्चे पतितनाम पावने भ्यो वैष्णवे भ्यो नमो नमः.